Mercy. Written by Demery. Read by Opalsong. Fandom My Hero Academia. Rating explicit. Relationship Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for Light Bondage, Light Dom Sub, Denial, Power Play, Safe Words, Figuring Things Out, Domzawa is the best, Anal Fingering, Oh God, that's a tag, Sexy Times, Discussions of Safety and Self-Worthiness, which is also pretty sexy, Mike and Midnight being goons, Body Worship, Body Dysphoria, Self-esteem issues, and orders. Part 13 of the Bandages and Bravado series. And I've still got nowhere else to go. So I wait for you to take me all the way. Take me all the way. You're wanting me to stay, but my dreams were surely waste away, and I still have nowhere else to go. The first time Toshinori truly came to realize what a scene was, it wasn't a scene. Toshinori's big hands were bound above and behind his head on the couch, and Aizawa, straddling his knees, was blessing slash torturing him with the most amazing handjob in the world. Then, Himawari wandered into their periphery. The pretty yellow thing strutted along on top of the couch with her tail held high and interrupted Aizawa muttering, describing his cock in cutting, florid language, taking him right up to the brink with just his deep voice and the furtive, skillful way his hand squeezed and pushed. And everything screeched to a halt at the worst possible moment, which was basically any moment of a properly suspenseful handjob. She meowed indignantly, and the younger hero abruptly leaned back and reached up with his free hand. Hey, Hime, he said sweetly, stroking her face. And Toshinori almost suffered a heart attack and died. Aizawa glanced at him, clearly amused. Not appreciating the interruption. Toshinori wrangled his brain and made it do words instead of relentless howling arousal, and even tried to be polite about it. Just a little. Unexpected. He winced as Himawari tried to sniff his neck and bunt his chin, an inch from tumbling into the X-rated scenario that was his lap. Toshinori shifted nervously, hands twisting above the restraints. I just don't think she should be exposed to this kind of thing. Maybe we should shut her in the bathroom? I mean, just until... Aizawa's glare told him that was not acceptable in the slightest. How dare he? And if he suggested it again, he might be murdered in the staff room closet. He indignantly scooped up the kitten and placed her on the arm of the couch, not nearly far enough away for the given scenario. He never took his narrowed, bloodshot eyes off Toshinori, as if to say... This is how it works here, in Kittenland, where I live forever. You are blessed to be here. Suck it the fuck up. Himawari somehow took the hint and dropped onto the floor. They were in the clear, barely. All Might blew out an overwhelmed breath, having seriously underestimated the 1A homeroom teacher's fondness for felines. and then made a sound of surprise as Aizawa's mouth was on his again, fingers working magic, and all offenses blurred into soft staccato moans and his fingers curling wantonly above Aizawa's reins. Himawari eventually got bored and wandered off. A windfall, she found a ball of string under the table as her humans did boring stuff on the couch, like Grumpy Dad forcing Long Dad's legs apart and crushing him into the couch with an open-mouthed kiss as he came hard. This string, however, was pretty great. And so Toshinori realized, in the easy haze of afterglow, even though it involved restraints, and while amazing in its own right, that was not a scene. There was something missing, perhaps an intoxicating control beyond the physical. What they'd spoken of on the couch that stressful week still escaped him in its specifics. He'd been reading some, blushing his way through a few lifestyle blogs and jotting down jargon in progressively smaller, shyer script, and then tearing up the evidence. But the memory of paradoxical freedom allowed by the rains and the space and Aizawa followed him nonetheless. So, trusting the arrangement, Toshinori asked for it. He reasoned that it was the brave and appropriate thing to do, overriding and assuring any reluctance his fellow instructor may have nursed after their first encounter, while taking responsibility for his own needs. And that would be the end of it. But while the move certainly was a point in his favor, like many things with Aizawa, it wasn't the end, but the beginning. "We need a safe word," was the first thing the younger hero said, hard as tacks. Aizawa gave him a strict look, even as his mouth dropped open. "Before anything." It was clear Aizawa was still kicking himself for leaving him without one that first night. Right now, it felt like they had too many nights they referred to as that night, but Toshinori understood. The younger hero seriously prioritized his and their safety, and Toshinori appreciated it in an uncomprehending way. He trusted it was all for a greater goal, but most of all, he trusted in his friend's exacting nature. So they set about finding a safe word. Safe words, as it turned out, were complicated things and not easily found. It had to be unerotic, but not a kind of unerotic that would disgust or disarm. It just had to be a word, easily spoken, yet uncommon enough not to slip off the tongue during a fit of passion. Yagi Toshinori was unaware of how many words he did not know until he was forced to find just one. "I have no idea," he admitted one morning in the teacher's lounge, knowing they shouldn't be whispering about this over the student papers or even on school grounds. He glanced over at the 1A homeroom teacher with his hand on his forehead, stupidly stressed. "Why can't I just say stop?"
"Because maybe your fantasy is for me not to stop,"
Aizawa murmured immediately, shooting him a tired look. Tokoyami's essay had to be reprinted due to the graphic coughed bloodstain. The two teachers regathered and tried again. Toshinori kept a handkerchief nearby just in case, now distinctly rattled.
"What about, plus ultra?" he said with a hesitant smile, drawing circles on a napkin.
"No."
Toshinori looked up in surprise, and the strained look on Aizawa's face only deepened his confusion.
"Pick something else."
He did, or he tried. The school day parted them without a conclusion, but before Toshinori left the computer lab, he hesitated for just a moment before scribbling a thought on a sticky note. "Victory!" in big, bold letters in his sweeping script, and a question mark, and sticking it to Aizawa's not-so-designated screen. It was just a word, he assured himself as he gathered his things and slipped out, face red. No one would know.
That was the problem. After a few sticky note exchanges, Mike and Midnight sat upon Aizawa and pestered him about the mysterious piecemeal dialogue taking place on their computer screens, convinced the two men were tag-teaming a crossword puzzle, and finally getting friendly in their academic hellscape with the limited coping mechanisms available to them. When Aizawa told them they were exactly right, his oldest friends fell back to strategize, hushed, knowing that meant they were dead wrong, and there was something far more interesting and delicious underfoot. So, since their loquacious Shota was unlikely to come forward with the actual reason for the sticky note party, Mike and Midnight decided to contribute. A few probably slipped underneath the radar. Flowers or engineering terms or silly words he would generally not ascribe to Toshinori's sensibilities. But then Aizawa came into the computer lab one evening after school and found Toshinori bent over his computer chair, laughing so hard that his shoulders were shaking and tears were slipping down his long, narrow nose. Unspeaking, the older man passed him a sticky note that said mustache on it, with an awkward little drawing of, well, a mustache. Definitely neither of their handwritings. Toshinori's screen was absolutely matted with sticky notes. Platypus, key, boot, vibrator, decanter, Sweden, ceiling fan. Smiley faces, frowny faces, reminders when President Mike's show would be on next, demands to know what in the world they were doing. Aizawa snatched a handful up and tore it in two, smiling despite himself. Idiots. Actually, it's funny. One of the words on there, Toshinori said between breaths as they sank into their respective chairs in the half light of evening, grinning widely. I was considering it. Villain. It took a while for the last of the champagne sweet mirth to clear his head, and he didn't particularly rush it. When he came down, the computer lab was oddly quiet. As quiet as the halls outside, meant to be teeming with children, all painted in surreal shadows by the rusty orange light slanting through the spotless windows. To the older hero's mounting unease, Aizawa simply didn't respond to his statement, didn't even move, then turned toward him with an alarmingly stony expression. I think, he said with clear effort, that you're entirely missing the point. Toshinori stilled, blinking. The younger man's tone was stern enough to embarrass him and singe whatever sense of confidence Toshinori had gained over the week. But, above all, it was deeply familiar. It was the kind of teaching toughness Aizawa used with his children, down on one knee and looking them in the eye, without judgment but with high standards. When a vital understanding was lacking, and simply couldn't continue if they expected to go any further in the matter at hand. A hard stop. A learning moment. Swallowing with some difficulty, Toshinori rallied. All right, he acceded, with as much grace as he could. Hands out. Allowing, despite the sting. Aizawa gathered his thoughts, and Toshinori's heart pounded embarrassingly high in his throat. The wonderfully handsome pensiveness that usually preceded his co-teacher's surprisingly poetic waxings was the only thing that distracted him from the barbs of his own self-consciousness. Waiting to be told off, even as he knew Aizawa wasn't the sort of person to do so, he barely refrained from telling himself off in the meantime. When you go under in a submissive role, all that matters are the rules you made. There's no forgiveness in subspace, because there's nothing to be forgiven for. Unless that's what you need. There's no shame or judgment. It's a place to fuck up, be human, drop your filters, cry, be ugly, be afraid, be out of control, scream. Whatever. It's permission, freely given, for anything you need. It was an abrupt shift in their ongoing conversation, and Toshinori couldn't hide the distressed look on his face. There was more to it,
but his mind stuck on the idea of entering a space, a scene, in order to be afraid. Contrary to earlier descriptions, this version of subspace didn't sound fun, or even pleasant. Not at all like what they'd done before, where his troubles seemed so far away. I thought the point was to not be afraid, to know you were safe, Toshinori said, haltingly, looking down into his lap. Aizawa made a soft noise across the computer pod, considering.
You are safe. It's not necessarily that you like fear or want to experience it, but that the things you actually like may scare you. Instead of self-editing and trying to tamp it down out of shame, it's important to give yourself time and space to experience that fear and let it pass, realizing the fear itself can't kill or hurt you. He smirked. It's a paradox, having a safe space to be afraid, but fear is an adaptation of self-preservation. In a scene, once it becomes obvious over time that there's no harm to come, most times you can reprogram yourself and just enjoy what you want to do. But you have to move through the fear first, or use it, either way. Staring down at the lines of his palm, Toshinori jolted at the idea of reprogramming himself. He didn't think they were going to get quite so deep in his own wires, if he was going to be honest. He just wanted to give up control. But then, wasn't that terrifying? Control was ingrained in him on every level. All Might was not allowed to be out of control, less for concern of broken bones than broken people. For years, he was safety, the pride of the world, the symbol of peace. There were so many things he wasn't allowed to do, and he was so happy to shoulder those restrictions that he'd hardly thought of them as such until he was injured, walking the sidewalks like everyone else. Like everyone else again, the nasty voice in his head added, dredging up every fear he'd buried in his own bones so long ago to make room for the purifying power of All for One. Toshinori compressed himself into the shape he thought the world needed, particularly what he had needed as a quirkless child. And there wasn't much he wouldn't give up to be All Might. But as the cost became more visceral to be that, painted in bloody handkerchiefs, Toshinori had to wonder what he'd left outside of that control and that identity. The sheer thought was bottomless, sending the hairs on his arms to attention like he was falling from a great height without an inkling of what lay below. A safe place to be afraid, Toshinori thought again, biting his thumbnail. Or just lost or uncertain or messy. It made a little sense. Now, imagine being in a space so conspicuously stripped of real-world context, impossibly vulnerable in whatever way you need, but you've reached your limit, you're overwhelmed, you want to stop, and you have to say and remember and choose the word villain. What do you feel? Hearing Aizawa speak at length was its own form of hypnosis and piecemeal unfolding, so the answer came too easily, flooding Toshinori's every sense. Pain. A ripple of all the blackened emotional shrapnel ever associated with the word, kick-starting decades of panic and grit and knee-jerked hardness. The older hero shivered before he realized what he'd done, rubbing absently at his own arms, feeling crushingly small in his voluminous clothes and the massive computer chair. Aizawa tisked. See? It's a recipe for a meltdown. Safe words have to be safe, beyond functionality. When he dared to glance over, Aizawa was glaring at him suspiciously, like he didn't even have a working definition of the word safety. Toshinori grimaced internally and considered that his shrewd co-teacher might be right, and this was going to be a lot more complicated than he'd thought. Aizawa sighed, but politely held it in his mouth. When approaching a personal process like this, it may be instinct to focus on things that are familiar to you, but But it's obvious you're going to have to reach a little further than that, he said quietly, toying with his hair with a faraway expression. Away from your personal experience and immediate vocabulary specifically. Why? It was all Toshinori could ask, a question so elementary as to be embarrassing, if it didn't prove his cluelessness. He didn't think what would. Is there a single word you can think of that is distinctly yours? The younger hero said at length, dark eyes finding his. That isn't also dangerous? Oh, he exhaled, too tired to frown. Aizawa gave a small shrug. You've been in the business a long time, All Might. That comes with baggage, he continued, not seeing or acknowledging how Toshinori flinched ever so slightly at the name. Others may struggle to face their fears or arrange a scene to do it. You might have to clear a path through it all to find some space to breathe. A struggle to face what he wanted, what he would allow himself to have. Toshinori smiled, but didn't feel it. Little more than a numb, automatic quirk of his mouth. Well, wasn't he a picture-perfect mess? A high-maintenance, pathetic mess. Clearly more wound than man. And there's nothing wrong with that, Aizawa said, as if hearing his thoughts and stopping them with a boot. Then the younger hero smirked, just as automatic and defensive as Toshinori's own shield of a smile. Half of him crunched down at the sight, anxious, while the other half wondered just how well he'd come to know the homeroom instructor, that he could tell the difference so instantly. A lot of us are minefields. Comes with the territory, the job. Doesn't make us any less deserving. Wise words, Toshinori murmured with a queasy sigh. Little more than a walking platitude himself. He scrubbed absently at the back of his neck, a chilly knot of doubt or just discomfort building in his gut. This was difficult, unerotic, average, and difficult. No flashy strategies or smashes to distract here. Easier said than felt half the time, Aizawa added tersely, as he leaned forward on his scarred knuckles, shoulders hitched just a little too high. He looked cornered in his own skin, but still worth aspiring to. Is this what you do with midnight? When Aizawa looked over at him, suddenly sharp, Toshinori flustered, pinned. He almost put a hand out like it would stop the exchange at a comfortable G rating, but reined himself in. He was too curious. Talk about things like this. And a little more. There was the first glimmer of that wonderfully bored wit, calling back to a conversation so long ago that seemed like another lifetime. Suddenly, Toshinori relaxed. He even chuckled, which in turn seemed to relax Aizawa, if he could give himself a little credit. The two men sat together for a quiet moment in the abandoned computer lab, relaxed or relaxing or getting there. A process. I'd like to meet her, Toshinori admitted suddenly, lacing his long, crooked fingers atop the table like he'd made a very noteworthy decision. Aizawa's brow inched up, clearly wondering if he'd gone daft. Midnight? Your midnight. But then he grinned toothily, appreciative, and didn't say a word. Aizawa's silence was somehow rich. A slow-motion secret, not through shame, but simple personal enjoyment, that didn't require a single word of explanation or justification. It was clear he had nothing to prove to Toshinori or anyone else, and just seeing someone so confident and unapologetic in themselves was like a sweet flame to the older hero's heart. He wanted that. Badly. He would be the first to admit that he had trouble wanting things or liking things. But the way Toshinori's belly lit up at the way the younger hero's features smoothed wickedly, fox-like and smug, made him think that, in meeting Midnight as a dom, maybe he just wanted to see more of Aizawa.
another angle, another fractal, another taste. Like he was trying to map him out by the negative space around him. Those souls he surrounded himself with on his journey. The want was alarmingly intense and startled Toshinori enough to redirect, ignoring the persistent flutter in his chest. So? Aizawa drawled, looking over. Toshinori spread his hands, overwhelmed, and the question was clear. What now? He shouldn't have worried. Aizawa had an answer for most things, if not everything. Knowing where his and others' knowledge ended, and providing for the lack, was one of the things that made him a good teacher. The safe word thing obviously wasn't happening anytime soon, so they decided green light, yellow light, red light, just for now. And you, what's your safe word? Toshinori asked that Friday night at Aizawa's apartment, watching the younger man sprawled on the floor with Himawari, apparently unconcerned with his apportioned pile of papers on the coffee table. Aizawa was hard at work waggling his leg so she would chase the half-on, half-off sock that flapped so enticingly from his toes, but not lazily enough that she could actually get her claws into his foot. Already she was a spitfire, and both men sustained some itty-bitty claw marks for their impudence, namely, assuming she had a sense of mercy when it came to chasing socks. Aizawa snorted, laughed. The sound was lovely, deep, and easy, tricked out of him by the blissful mixture of kittens and an early exit from school. Glissant. French? Toshinori clarified hesitantly, suddenly very confused. A very particular French lubricant that pretty much changed our lives. Aizawa glanced aside, lazily reaching for Himawari's tail. Mine and Nemuri-san's. Ugh! Toshinori tried not to blush. Any grasp he thought he had on what happened between Aizawa and Kayama-san was considerably loosened now that he knew there was lubricant involved. Maybe he would rethink introductions for the time being. He redirected. So you'll continue using Glissant with me? Aizawa didn't answer immediately, or even after a moment, or three. Toshinori looked over at him, concerned. Can you not imagine a situation in which you'd have to use your safe word with me? Toshinori asked, nursing a tight, uncertain feeling in his brittle chest. He didn't even know what it was. Offense? Confusion? Worry? What level or lack of vulnerability was the other man offering if he wouldn't admit that? Did Toshinori even have the right to ask it of him? No, I... That one is just particular. Maybe I need a new one. We'll see. Aizawa looked up at him, with his cheek propped on his hand, clearly curious. I didn't see needing one so soon, for me. You have a vested interest in being submissive. Do I? Toshinori said lightly, with a nervous chuckle. The jargon, when it arrived, deftly befuddled him, and Aizawa seemed to know it, and so moved to intervene both verbally and physically. The younger hero rose, liquid, playfully tossing Himawari off his leg and redirecting her toothy excitement to a nearby toy, then settled beside his co-teacher on the couch, resplendent in rumpled black knit and a sleepy expression. This close, Toshinori could smell the coffee he'd had earlier. A dark and merciless smell, but familiar by now. Familiar and strangely erotic, if he was going to be honest. But there wasn't much about Aizawa that didn't tug on some part of him at this point. Let me rephrase that. Do you want to actively drive the scene? Aizawa asked, almost startling him. No, not at all. Toshinori's eyes widened in alarm, though he didn't pry his gaze from the essay in front of him. He wanted to be relieved of control, not exercise it over someone like Aizawa, who, on some level, still intimidated him, especially in this topsy-turvy realm. I want it to be like before. That was very good when I was decidedly not in control.
Tugging absently at his loose, dark hair, Aizawa gave a cautious smile. Should I be worried that you're defining what you want to do by what you don't want to do?
Toshinori thought about it, clicking at his pen, and then shrugged. Simple lack of experience, I suppose. I know what I don't find exciting. Things that worry me or things that frighten me, for instance.
He frowned at the thought. Their earlier conversation indicated there might be some overlap between those two, but he'd deal with that when it presented itself. Then his lips twitched in a shy sort of smile, and he continued lowly.
There are things that I don't know about yet, true, but hopefully we'll, discover what I do like, if you're willing to help, that is.
You do have a shocking lack of indulgences,
Aizawa admitted, yawning. He looked up while scratching absently at his stubble, one arm draped along the back of the couch.
It's like I have to twist your arm to admit you want sugar in your tea. Have you ever been with a man before?
Toshinori dropped his pen, shook his head. Hard. Did Aizawa even understand how to link thoughts?
Toshinori cleared his throat and reached for the pen, along with his dignity.
Have you?
Aizawa laughed. Once. Loudly.
It was more of a yell, actually, but that was all the bottled amusement he had towards that particular question.
He used sex to come down off a great many things. A great many men had helped him with that. Then proceeded to blow up his phone with poorly spelled propositions and dick pics before he blocked them. If he had to categorize himself into a style, it would be hit it and quit it when it gets annoying.
Toshinori didn't need to know that. Safe, sane, and consensual. Condoms and mute and all that.
Yeah, one or two.
Toshinori twiddled his thumbs, thinking hard.
Have you ever been with a woman?
He asked hesitantly, worrying he might seem like a provocateur. When Aizawa just shook his head, Toshinori frowned, asking,
Then forgive me, but how do you know you wouldn't like it?
Aizawa gave the sweet, golden hero a look that could peel wallpaper.
Believe me, I know.
Toshinori sighed, slumping back on the couch. This world was new, and he hadn't felt so confused in a while. Not the best mindset to be grading detail-intensive papers on battle strategy.
It must be a blessing of sorts to have such strong tastes, he said at length, tone vaguely wistful.
He set aside his paper stack and his ambitions for the night, stretching out his legs and giving a half-smile as Himawari instantly sat upon the hem of his pant leg, which had the nerve to wiggle.
Knowing what you like from so early on. It's a process. There are problems that come from having particular tastes as well.
Aizawa's tone bordered on dark, and Toshinori looked over, strangely concerned. He didn't expect to see the younger hero scrounge under the coffee table and emerge with a notepad. An actual notepad, which he then opened and flipped to a blank page.
I want to lay down some ground rules and hard stops before we get any further, Aizawa began, businesslike.
He licked the tip of his pen, and Toshinori's focus immediately wandered at that flick of pink. It's important to blacklist potential triggers, physical and mental, before structuring any sort of scene. Do you have any battles or injuries that shook you? Any particular kinds of pain that really impacted you?
I was burned once, badly, Toshinori said unsurely, still not quite knowing what was happening.
Does that count?
Aizawa nodded and made a note. His handwriting was awful, as expected. But then Toshinori realized he was technically peeking and sat back, determined to toe the line and behave through the mysterious process.
Do you have any areas of your body you don't want me to touch?
Toshinori was silent for a moment, his hands clenched nervously in his lap. My side. My left side. His low voice caught. He cleared his throat and looked at the floor. Please. Hey, you don't have to ask me that, Aizawa said firmly, knocking him with his knee. Rearrange your thoughts. You're calling the shots here, telling me what I can or can't do. It's your body. Sufficiently scolded, Toshinori nodded, but didn't raise his head. Yes, then. Yes. Or rather, no. He winced, hand to his temple. Nothing on the left side, okay? Okay, Aizawa said, and they continued. For Toshinori, it was a little like going to the doctor and rattling off everything he possibly could, not knowing what could contribute to what conclusions. These questions, however, were new ones, and ones he had never thought about before. He thought such relentless planning could dull the mystery a bit, but if anything, it just inflamed his sense of curiosity atop his baseline arousal. Seeing Aizawa so businesslike and engaged in something that involved him was, well, a little thrilling. It felt like he was being considered and provided for in a very intimate, affirming way, and that was new and interesting, if downright baffling. He was nervous, and of course he was nervous. Hell, he was still nervous whenever Aizawa kissed him first, thinking he was going to cough and ruin it. Toshinori nodded along, speaking to his difficult experiences and being as honest as he could. But that wasn't the end of the negotiation. There was a lot more. A lot. There are things I'm not comfortable doing. Unsafe suspension or binding, slapping, cutting, or anything forceful with your mouth, neck, or throat. I don't like the idea it could trigger your coughing. And I don't know if you like forceful things, and I don't think you know either. But we'll get to that later. Aizawa rattled off in what could only be described as his teacher voice, which had the unintended and embarrassing consequence of jump-starting Toshinori's arousal. That wasn't even considering the words, which sent his head spinning in a mix of panic and excitement, and very deep concern. Aizawa didn't let him linger in that state long, instead fixing him with an even look with his notepad perched officiously in his hands. Of oral and penetrative sex, do you have anything you would absolutely never want to do with another man? Me, currently? That gave him a cough or two. Or 10. I don't know enough to say, Toshinori murmured into his hand when he could breathe again, face red from embarrassment and oxygen deprivation. He was reaching the end of his honesty rope that night and was having trouble staying on his feet in the conversation. All frame of reference obliterated. I don't even know what half of that would look like. For a moment, Aizawa looked a little fucking stressed, but he recovered admirably, pressing at his temple. We'll pick back up on that later, he huffed, clearly deciding one of several courses of action with calculating the end results as best as he could. He made sure to look Toshinori in the eye. At first, I'm just going to use my hands, and we'll go slow. Very slow. This is a lot to start out with, and I royally fucked up your first experience. But do you trust me to guide the first scene and act in your best interests? Yes, I trust you, Toshinori said, as clearly as he could. Then mentally anchored himself to the notion. He trusted Aizawa. With his life, yes, as he was an accomplished hero with a shockingly deep sense of honor, but also with his scarred, neglected body. The concept wasn't an easy one. Honestly, the thought alone made him twitch, no matter how he tried to cushion it with the overarching sense of promise, trust. The anxiety of it all clashed headily with the needling arousal from their conversation, until Aizawa's deep voice brought him back. So, how about it? Toshinori made a soft noise, eyes closed. There was a bit of rustling, and when he opened his eyes, Aizawa was almost flush to his side, arm crooked behind his neck on the couch. He was coiled like a cat, tip of his half-socked foot touching Toshinori's crossed leg. His stubbly, smirking face was a millimeter away, and Toshinori's hand came up over his mouth. Right now, tonight. Aizawa cocked his head, studying the older hero's reddening face with easy interest. It's Friday. Do you have anywhere to be? Then, that brash, toothy grin said no. Toshinori didn't. He was a soulless zombie teacher slave, just like him. But zombies rarely got up to anything so exciting as this man looking at him like he wanted to eat him alive. All Might's heart gave a rousing, triple pitter-pat, and he tried to shuffle his papers only to realize he'd put them down, so he fretted at his shirt sleeves, looking left to right as though scanning for a crowd of mandatory appointments waiting to steal him away. Oh, my. He took a deep breath, panicking pleasantly. Well? Now that they'd started talking about it, Toshinori realized he would just be waiting on pins and needles for it to happen, and the anxiety wasn't worth it. He couldn't imagine trying to get through a lecture with this on his mind and Aizawa in the same room, honestly. His body was, rather opinionated on the subject as well, and he had to put a hand over his heart, tapping with his fingers. You don't have to. This is all you, so you set the time, Aizawa said, with remarkable pleasantness, and made to settle back. Toshinori's body, as usual, had other ideas, and grabbed at the hand above his shoulder to hold the other man in place. Loath to permit any more distance between them, he half-cursed his instincts as Aizawa shot him a smug look, perfectly motionless despite the arrested movement. It was clear he had to make the next move. What, did you have in mind? For me. For us. Toshinori corrected, wetting his lips. Aizawa settled comfortably next to him, a hand on his knee with fingertips grazing and tracing nonsense. He was a sensuous creature, indulging in artful touch without communicating intimacy. And the combination perplexed and aroused Toshinori to no end. He really wanted Aizawa to exert his personal experience in his general area for the foreseeable future, and spared a thought to how unfathomably lucky he was to be here. I have an idea. Light restraints, a touch of denial, a happy ending. Aizawa murmured like he was ordering from a menu, but his eyes, those eyes, glinted, and Toshinori heard approximately none of it. Do you want to go into the bedroom? Toshinori heard that. He shook his head, hard. I can't, he barely managed to say. Then tried to remember what the younger hero had said earlier. This was his choice. He tried again, firm. It would make me more comfortable if we stayed out here. In slightly neutral territory, he thought. Not a bedroom. Not that close, not that intimate. Aizawa just shrugged, smirking. I'd be more comfortable out here, too. The room is more closed than futon. Whenever I'm behind on laundry, I crash out here more than I should. Toshinori laughed automatically. Aizawa hummed and waited. So? The older hero breathed, trying not to let his voice shake as the reality of it all came crashing in. Much more fraught than simple fantasy. Toshinori's memories of this particular living room had a lot of layers, of quietly grating or kissing or playing with Himawari, but at its foundation, there was still darkness as well. Visceral memories of being strung up, drawn and quartered by merciless red eyes. He swallowed and tried to breathe them out, not knowing why his mind chose to throw that bitterness up as a last defense. Probably because part of him was always expecting for the next glut of pain, assault, fear. Now, he told himself, was not the time for that. Exactly the opposite, in fact, or so was planned.
Toshinori watched in silence, hands laced tightly in his lap, as Aizawa rose and scooped Himawari up from the living room floor, bundling her against his chest with a quick nuzzle and slipping into the bedroom. The door closed a moment later, and the sharp sound made the older hero flinch, then regret it so deeply he flinched again. He looked up, and Aizawa was watching him as he tied his hair up, the busy lift of his arms exposing a warm line of skin at his muscled belly. His signals were getting so hellishly mixed. Alarm, arousal, guilt, want, that Toshinori had to close his eyes, heart pounding again.
Nervous?
Aizawa asked, bare feet audibly padding towards him. Toshinori nodded, not trusting himself to words, or sight, or much more independent thought, really.
Try to focus on my hands and breathe deeply. You get the slightest bit lightheaded or uncomfortable, we'll stop. Blindfold?
Please. Toshinori nearly gasped, explosively grateful for the reprieve, as the tie went around his head and tightened with a zip of fake silk. He sat for a moment, with his hands on the worn fabric of his cargo pants in the new darkness. The couch dipped next to him, and Aizawa's hot palms pressed on his bare forearms, anchoring him briefly.
I'm here.
A vague thrill went down his body, not nearly as familiar as he really wanted it to be. Toshinori breathed out as slowly as he could, determined not to flinch as the younger hero, now just a dark, lithe presence and a pair of firm hands, positioned him in silence. It was disorienting, going so slowly and by feel alone, but that trust remained steady, and Toshinori's bitter fear stayed down. They had spoken about this, promised this, just hands, going slow. Soon he was on his knees above the other man, and could feel the press of the back of the couch at his feet. Aizawa's hands steadying his legs from the front, tugging and positioning. Green light, yellow light, red light. Toshinori gasped quietly as the stiff reins bound his arms behind his back, that zipping noise leaving a myriad of emotions banging around in his suddenly raw insides. It was redolent of suffocation and struggle, but there were Aizawa's warm fingers pressing in, checking the tightness, and Toshinori breathed out.
Remember, you were in control.
The firm hand on his shoulder was delicious, fingers spreading then squeezing, already drawing him in and tying him down with a simple touch, then soft words.
I'm going to set up a scene that you can play in, that you can flex the borders of and see what excites you. But take it moment by moment and go only by what you want. I will only use my hands.
I want to keep my shirt on, Toshinori said suddenly, already feeling like he was revealing too much. He had already drawn the line at Aizawa touching his left side, but he also couldn't cope with his scar out in the open like that, even if he couldn't see it all. The exposure was too much, more about feeling, and that feeling could shatter any illusion of wholeness exactly as the waxy spider web of sutures shattered his cachectic flank. Toshinori didn't want the younger hero being forced to look at it either, and became acutely uneasy at the thought. He grit his teeth.
Does that interfere with your idea?
No, Aizawa said simply, but his tone said so much more. It was a double-edged blade. Aizawa knew, but at the same time he would treat it accordingly with the subtlety he was so good at. Toshinori relaxed infinitesimally. It wasn't a bad thing, having this man know things about him. It could even help him feel safer.
No more talking.
Aizawa's voice was deep, strict, sudden.
Come here. Kiss me.
The heat began low and slow with that simple command, and the firm, demanding grip of fingers on his chin. His skin thrilled so hard it stung.
Toshinori allowed himself to be led down and eased back onto his heels, exhaling carefully into the darkness of the blindfold until a warm mouth brushed his. Suddenly, he was exquisitely aware of the pinch of the restraints as the press of those lips, and he leaned in, fingers fretting behind his back as Aizawa deepened the kiss with a low, pleased sound that forced up all the hairs along his arms. A simple kiss, and he was already breathless, practically feeling the euphoric sighs of his pupils blowing wide under the blindfold. How could something as simple as captivity feel so good? Green light, yellow light, red light. Aizawa kissed him sumptuously for roughly forever, sucking at his bottom lip and bruising it in fickle turns, leaving Toshinori harried enough to make a noise of alarm as his belt was suddenly yanked forward. The kiss, the only constant, dropped away, and the first thing the older hero heard was a soft, deep chuckle. A perfect beginning. I would ask if you're ready to start, but look at you. Toshinori straightened uncomprehendingly, skin on fire, anticipating the next contact that wasn't the bite of the oversized belt on his hip. It came as a firm palm to the front of his pants, pushing teasingly over the bulge of his trapped erection. He jolted at the contact, heat gushing up his neck, tried not to yank at the wrist bindings. I hardly touched you and you're already shaking. Aizawa's voice murmured, groin level. The man's cheek pressed luxuriously against his hip. Heat of his breath just inches from the hard line of his arousal. I bet I could suck your cock and you'd be hard again in the next minute, begging for it. Toshinori wilted under the accusations, instinctively bowing his head, wincing. But hands grabbed the back of his legs and pulled firmly. No, sit up straight. I want to look at you. He obeyed, heart already pounding, the excited shudder in his mind just barely reaching his long limbs. Trapped, but not. Aizawa's obscenely personal attention was like a branding iron, changing the way he looked and felt with every pass. There you are. I like looking at you. Aizawa told him in the dark, dulcet tones proper for a villain, commanding hands now clenching and rubbing into the tenseness of his thighs. Up, cupping his ass, hard, and deciding what I'm going to do with you, of course. Toshinori bit his lip as his belt was yanked loose, heinously loud and clanging. The louder still was the exposure as his pants, All Might's pants, fell in loose folds around his spread knees. He fought to keep his breath steady as his cock strained in the air, trying not to imagine how obscenely close it must be to the other man's face. But for better or worse, his worries went untouched. One hand pinning his oversized cotton shirt to his left side, Aizawa's hand slid up under the folds with forceful slowness, dipping into every bit of his sparse, elongated musculature with all five fingers, and the feeling, the simple, firm attention, was breathtaking. You wanted to keep your shirt on. You're lucky I'm patient with your teasing. The hot hand dropped and cupped the tender small of Toshinori's back, and Aizawa licked a close stripe up the flat plane of his shaking stomach. Toshinori's aching cock at his cheek, silky hair tickled, brushed, and Toshinori flinched, mouth dropping open as the younger hero sucked at the skin on the crest of his hip, pressure wet and shifting. His cock pulsed in anticipation, relentless, but Aizawa's hands only moved to grip his narrow ass again, digging in with his blunt fingernails and simultaneously biting light and sweet at the firm seam of his hip and thigh. Toshinori made a stifled moan, every inch of his skin tightening at the assertive, crude sensations and the rough handling alike. Please. A hand grabbed the back of his neck, yanking him straight. His heart nearly burst through his chest. The sharp grip and the pressure at the base of his skull igniting a primal fear. Please, what?
that dark voice demanded, accompanied by a domineering pull on his neck which bent his head back. The signals of pleasure and fear clashed, and Toshinori panicked and swallowed and said it, the one thing he had never been allowed to say. Please, please don't hurt me. It was just a whisper. So surreal, it was as if it came from somewhere else. For all he knew, it did. I don't plan to, Aizawa said, matter of fact, like it was normal, expected to plead and be afraid. And so the last bit of guilt in Toshinori's swollen heart was extinguished. As long as you do exactly what I say. If you don't, then we'll see, won't we? This wasn't weakness. This was vulnerability. Weakness had a rank shame, the taste of illness and old blood and true danger. But vulnerability was the ability to respond, to pant and strain into and lean away, giving over to hard hands, his mind both blank and scrambled. Toshinori gasped at another bite at his hip, sharper this time. Damn, you're so sensitive. It makes me want to bite every part of you and see how loud I could get you. Came the low voice again, teasing. Toshinori didn't realize he was shaking until Aizawa knocked his knees apart, farther, and he fought to steady himself, panting. Who would have thought the savior of the free world would be so shameless? Not him. Never him. But he wasn't quite him now. He was someone exquisitely helpless who leaned instinctively into the fingers that pressed into his open mouth before he even heard the command. Suck. Aizawa's fingers were rough and stung with salt, blasting his cloistered senses. Though just to the second knuckle, nowhere near the tripwire of his throat, Toshinori gave it everything he had, breath scraping out of his nose. After a moment, too soon, the fingers slid out and spit roped across Toshinori's chin, warm then cold. He was breathing hard, but not too hard. Not too hard, at least, to hold his breath as he waited for the next part. Fear and gluttonous, mad anticipation coiling in his gut and coloring the breath in his aching chest in the most luscious shade of fuck-me red. Slowly, purposefully, one hand pulled at his hip and wet fingers parted his ass and pressed, circled, toying. Toshinori tensed and jerked, shaking hard at the new sensation only to be held down, forced between the warm press of Aizawa's cheek at his hip and a steel arm across the small of his back. He made a shocked sound, a gasp given raw volume by the clench of his throat, and the fingers stilled. No one has ever touched you like this, of course. Aizawa's voice was smug, a pleased whisper against the skin of his hip. If you like it, you won't make a sound. Even a syllable and I'll stop. Maybe even let you go. An entirely different kind of panic seized Toshinori's cramped mind, because that was the last thing he wanted. It sounded awful. It sounded world-ending. So he stayed quiet, body shaking with the effort of keeping everything in, as those thick, deft fingers massaged the sensitive, rippled skin, lighting a new, violent fuse in him and his throbbing cock. To add another glorious burden, Aizawa murmured sweet, sinister things every so often as he worked the older man down to nothing, rubbing his cheek against his damp skin like all he wanted to do at that moment was trap him and touch him until he couldn't take it anymore. Toshinori lasted a while. He couldn't say how long, until it got to be too much for him, and he pressed into the teasing touch. And even just the sweet, pushing sensation of Aizawa's fingers dipping into his ass was enough to make him bow and shake, exhaling brokenly. Immediately it was gone, and Aizawa grabbed his leg with his free hand roughly, swatting the inside of his thigh. It was barely a tap, but Toshinori jolted like he'd been struck full force. Adrenaline, being caught, being punished, burned then chilled his skin,
flooding his mind with dangerously bright colors. What do you think you're doing? Don't rush me. Aizawa ordered sharply. I'm in control. You get what I say you get. Toshinori froze and contracted, shivering. He swam in the distinct feeling of danger, but on one side was pleasure, and the other side was a different kind of pleasure, that of being held down by a firm hand. Toshinori drew in breath after breath in the dark, hypnotized, his train of thought just a single car, or just the burning coals of the car pulsing with heat. He waited in the younger man's hard grip, unable to do anything else and viciously grateful for it. But you did stay quiet. I guess I should reward that. An unrecognizable noise, high and needy, pushed out of him as Aizawa traced a fingernail along the inside of his thigh, where he'd slapped. The skin prickled, adding another sensation to the arousal pounding in his coiled gut, and Toshinori turned his head as he heard a small clicking noise. Within seconds, Aizawa's fingers were back, and dripping with something slick and cool, coating his skin with the stuff before pushing into his ass, tugging gently outward. Toshinori grit his teeth as another finger was added, probing and massaging and wringing another low, ecstatic sound out of him. He breathed deeply, body pouring with sweat and twitching with every clever twist of Aizawa's fingers. Does that feel good? He nodded, unable to speak. There was a kiss on his hip, and the man's fingers sunk deeper, knuckles stretching the tender skin and creating room for an even sharper hunger. Toshinori arched into it, aloud now, and the sensation rippled through his wiry, high-strung body, building mercilessly. And all the while, an unexpected hypnotic and aphrodisiac praise. In low, sweet tones, Aizawa talked to him, about him, murmuring simple praise for how Toshinori looked, moved, the scent and the feel of him, how good he was doing, even though he was afraid. Aizawa spoke to him like he was a precious thing, something to be owned and ravished, freeing him and coveting him brashly in the same breath. It was a feeling Toshinori had never had before, so alien to be alarming. But his body and mind drank it in hungrily as Aizawa meticulously opened him in every way, fingers and words pressing and pleasuring him to the brink of who he thought he was. Look at you, fucking yourself on my fingers. The words should have stung, but they were true, and they weren't even half of what he wanted. Toshinori only bit his lip and panted, pressing into the touch for more. His fingers clenched frantically behind his back, like he could grab something for leverage and speed it all up. What are you thinking about? The question was familiar and perfectly timed, but suddenly it had a lime green filter and Toshinori's brain rewired itself again and his cock flexed eagerly. I know what I'm thinking about. Suddenly, Toshinori was pulled down and off his aching thighs, flat to the cradle of Aizawa's lap. The hard line of the younger hero's arousal pushed into the slippery cleft of his thighs and ass, occluded by fabric, but scalding and thick nonetheless, and he arched into it instantaneously. It felt too good to think about, with his aching body electrified by things he had never felt, much less in years, much less with anyone. He panted, begged with just the arch of his long back, and Aizawa obliged him. The younger hero shifted his hips to push up, crushing pinpoint deliciousness on Toshinori's naked hips, bracing and supporting the slow, tantalizing rub of the hard cock against his ass. You look shocked. You make me want to throw you on your back and fuck you. Toshinori ducked his head and gasped, hands clenched so hard behind his back that he had lost all sensation. Then, of all things, a hand ghosted down the length of his throbbing erection.
The first contact sent sparks through his gut, and his arousal spiked so viciously he moaned, crumpling forward against Aizawa's hard shoulder.
That excites you, doesn't it? You've never even touched a cock before this, and already you want to be fucked raw. Your body definitely knows what it wants, Toshinori.
His name, in that voice, in this moment, brought Toshinori up another 5 levels of consciousness. Every part of the older hero contracted, then expanded, blissed out and aching for release as he breathed into the clean, safe cedar scent of the other man, spiked with bitter coffee. Then Aizawa's hand, suddenly slick, tightened around his cock, and the sound that came out of him was nothing short of animal.
I've never seen anybody so hard. It almost looks like you're about to come just from this.
He strained against the younger hero's shoulder, bound arms angling frantically. The heat pulsed higher as Aizawa's slippery grip slid luxuriously up his shaft, holding him so firmly he couldn't buck or increase the friction. No, he held and stroked with painful slowness, like he was admiring or estimating the worth of him in his hand. And Toshinori snarled pitifully into the fabric of his shirt, begging, please! The sensation was at once too much and not enough, and Toshinori groaned with his entire body, fretting his cheek into the curve of Aizawa's hot neck, breath coming high and fast, mind white.
But that's a problem.
A hand gripped into Toshinori's damp hair at the base of his neck, pulling his head up sharply in the same moment Aizawa squeezed the base of his cock, and said like steel into his ear,
"The problem is, did I say you could come yet?"
It hit him like a punch in the gut, and cum instantly spattered hot and heavy over Toshinori's bare thighs, his entire body jerking. He cried out hoarsely into the darkness of the blindfold, body doubled with the force of such a sudden release, cock and body throbbing with exquisite sharpness. The hand in his hair let go, and his damp cheek fell on Aizawa's shoulder again.
"Oh,"
Aizawa said, barely there. He was frozen. They were both frozen. And after a moment, Toshinori started to shake.
"What's your safe word?"
Aizawa's voice was supremely careful, but it bounced off the hardening surface of his inexplicable panic like a thrown dart. Then, sharper,
"Toshinori, do you want to use your safe word?"
"Let me down. Let me down," Toshi muttered, high and fast, a cough catching in his throat and threatening to bend him double, rip him apart at the seams.
"Okay, that works too,"
he heard Aizawa grunt, and the binds were released. There was a short scramble, but soon enough, strong hands lifted the older hero up at the knees and bore his viciously tingling body down between the back of the couch and the hard warmth of Aizawa's chest. Shaking with coughs, Toshinori allowed himself to be folded into Aizawa's lap, but continued to shake uncomprehendingly, fingers twitching into empty air.
"Come back down to me. Breathe. It's okay. You're okay. You're safe. Breathe, Toshinori."
Aizawa's deep, exaggerated breaths finally caught him like a riptide in the darkness, and Toshinori fell in time, the shakes and coughs coming slower. He became aware of the comforting, cradling pressure of the couch, and the other man's body curled into it all, pathetically grateful for the physical reassurance. His body hurt a little, coming that fast hurt.
I didn't mean to do that.
And that's not what you intended when you said it," Toshinori said hoarsely when he could speak again. Like listing facts would help. His voice was strange, and it felt like he hadn't heard it in a while.
"It's okay. You found something you like. Nothing bad about that,"
Aizawa said, voice soft and bracing.
"You like being denied a little bit. I get it. You're safe. Nod when you're ready for the blindfold. No rush."
Toshinori nodded when he was ready to regain that sense, but still winced into the younger hero's chest, as even the low light of the apartment seemed to sting his face.
He blinked, every part of those last anguished moments coming back to him again, as the dark fabric of Aizawa's shirt came into focus, now painted with a sticky texture. He stared.
"No one's ever done that to me before," Toshinori managed to say after a moment, not having the slightest idea what was going on inside his thoroughly exhausted body, now or 5 minutes ago. No one had ever denied him anything. Never like that, at least.
"No one has ever been able to," Aizawa added, as he brushed the hair from his own eyes, tone both knowing and a little amused.
"You're All Might." "That was... wow,"
Toshinori surmised faintly, finally resting his head on Aizawa's arm. Part of him tried to think about embarrassment or exposure or humiliation, or even the rudeness of ejaculating all over a man's shirt, but nothing clicked. He blinked and it ricocheted down to his soul. He blinked again.
"I feel like I could sleep for a year. Welcome to my life,"
Aizawa muttered into his damp yellow hair, petting his shoulders absently and smoothing his shirt.
"Hmm?"
Toshinori moaned, already half somewhere else that wasn't his body.
"Sleep for a year. I've been thinking about it for a decade, or ever since I graduated academy,"
Aizawa thought aloud, fingers trickling down Toshinori's long arms and legs, bringing shivers as he muttered absently to himself. Slowly, word by word, Toshinori found himself coming back down.
"Just barricading myself in my apartment and sleeping until I wake up. No alarms. You can come too, I guess. I'm sure the class will get along fine without us. Mike could take over 1A, and Midnight could oversee admissions. Bakugo and Midoriya will be best friends within the day. Probably graduate and start a hero agency together. It's not like the school would explode or anything."
Toshinori chuckled high and light, amusement rippling out of him like water bending his edges into something softer, calmer.
"It would. It would explode without you, Aizawa-kun."
It was quiet again. Toshinori opened his eyes and the look on Aizawa's face, overshadowed by his messy hair and pricked by stubble, was something akin to proud. The handsome man knocked their noses together gently, and the impact went all the way down to Toshinori's raw heart. It beat a little harder, then quieted, content.
"There you go," Aizawa huffed with a sleepy smile. "You did well, Toshi. I'm glad you let me participate in that."
Toshinori hummed, smiling effortlessly.
"Toshi."
There. That. Something inside him said, gleefully honest. The name sounded tart and playful in Aizawa's mouth, and Toshinori's body and mind were so spent he could do nothing but absorb the praise. It felt good, like sunshine. Everyone said he needed more sunshine.
"So this is what you do,"
he said drowsily, words like drops in a bucket.
"Yeah," Aizawa said, more a chuckle than a word. "This is what I do."
They had an inside joke now. Toshinori smiled, even more against the warmth of the younger hero's arm, and made a very easy decision.
"Yes," he agreed, already half gone.
Warm, exhausted, and sore, Toshinori rustled deeper into Aizawa's chest and clothing, breathing out the last of the tension in his body. The younger hero's hands continued to press and pet, reassuring him. Aftercare. Knitting his body and mind back together after pulling them in opposite directions. It was all making sense now. Distantly, any thoughts about how the savior of the known world should be ashamed of his lack of control, his lack of stamina, or the general humiliation of being tied up, dissolved, and drifted away on the gentle tide of Toshi's cleared mind. He just was. And then he slept. The end.
So I wait for you to take me all the way, take me all the way.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.